If you all stay awake during my message, I'll pass that out to you too. Pressure's on. I must say I'm not going to explain that mysterious gospel reading today for you. I was rather disappointed when I read and discovered that that is the gospel reading for today. So I've taken a little different approach, and I'll let your new pastor, when he or she comes, tackle that for you in 3 years. All the texts today do indeed speak about either praising God for his grace following disobedience, or our readings speak of praising God following a time of suffering. God says to his disobedient people, his chosen people, through the prophet Isaiah in that first reading, "I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually." Yet God promises some that are being held captive in Babylon will indeed return to their homeland once again. God says he will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Psalm 22 begins with words that our Lord quoted while he was hanging on the cross. And you remember, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But then our psalm includes verses that announce, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Paul in Galatians speaks of the time before Christ's saving acts, and how it is with us following Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. He says to the Galatians in the second reading, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. But now that faith has come, we are all children of God through faith." Then in that gospel reading today, we hear of a man who is imprisoned by demons, which Luke says, "For many times the unclean spirit had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. But through faith, Jesus drove out the demons and released this tortured man from his imprisonment." Luke writes that he begged Jesus that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, and Luke continues by saying, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. In the past several days, I have been engrossed in preparing some former newsletter articles and a few additional ones I've added, articles that put them in a presentable format for my four siblings, although I did unfortunately lose the first of my four siblings just a couple months ago, to put them in a presentable format for them and our three daughters and our nine grandchildren. These articles include many incidents in my life which I feel not only provide these family members with some informative historical facts, but hopefully would be of interest to them, but that would also thereby help them who read it to be more aware of the events in their own life, where they too have been touched in meaningful ways by the gracious hand of God. Hopefully these words will help those who read them to be more appreciative of God's grace in their lives and more obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since I was beginning this message for you today, in the midst of putting these many articles together in this presentable form for family members, two of those articles came to my mind as I read today's readings and gave thought to them. Psalm 22 is a psalm that we hear read often during Lent and Holy Week, and we find our Lord quoting from that psalm often during the season or the week we now call Holy Week. Then the suffering endured by that unfortunate man in the gospel reading, also along with Jesus' suffering in Holy Week, brought to my mind an article that I had written in March of 1998 during the season of Lent while serving there at Zion Lutheran Church in Freeland. A newsletter article that I called A Summer of Suffering and Blessings. I'd like to read that if I can get to turn to it here. A Summer of Suffering and Blessings. The pain was unbearable, and I had to forego playing baseball with my three brothers that early part of the day and the early part of the summer of 1950. By 5 o'clock that same afternoon, I had had my appendix removed and found myself recuperating in the hospital on the campus of Bowling Green State University. All had gone well, but my sickness was a precursor of a summer of more serious attacks on the bodies of other family members. Grandpa Rathbun soon followed my appendectomy with a heart attack. A hospital placed in our parlor made it possible for my mother and my father to provide care for him during his recovery. But then an even darker cloud overshadowed our home as our family physician diagnosed my sister's sickness as being polio. How vividly I remember our good neighbor, Mrs. Groley, trying to comfort my mother as she sat in a chair in the kitchen. Not only was my mother fearing for Nancy's future, would she survive? Would she be paralyzed if she did survive? But she was also weeping because no one, including herself, was allowed to visit patients in their rooms at Crippled Children's Hospital, where Nancy was taken to be with other polio victims. The decision was made not to tell Grandpa Hank about Nancy's illness, lest it would set back his recovery. But that decision was changed sooner than anticipated. Within 4 days, Mother became ill, and Dr. Smith gave her the same diagnosis that he had given to Sister Nancy. Polio had struck another family member. Grandpa was thereby sent back to the hospital at BGSU since his daughter, my mother, was admitted to the hospital where her daughter had gone. But strange as it is, Grandpa went to the hospital with an apparent desire to, in his damaged heart, to be healed, to get well. And my mother went to the hospital with a smile on her face because now she could be with her only daughter. The summer of 1950 ended with a healthy grandfather and a mother and a sister suffering no serious effects from their battles with the scourge of polio. And it also found me playing baseball again with my brothers. We ended that season of the year celebrating our blessings, but it was a summer requiring our family to travel a road of suffering and pain. In the Isaiah passage today, the prophet writes, as already shared, that God held out his hands all day long to a rebellious people who walked in a way that is not good, as was mentioned in the children's message. That Lenten season in 1998, we were using a series that at Zion Lutheran in Freeland entitled The Way for our midweek Lenten worship. A way that is good rather than a way that is not good, as Isaiah announced to the people of Israel. I concluded this article by saying Jesus describes himself as the way. And this Lent, we will travel with the way, with Jesus, along his way, a road of suffering, pain, and death. Ash Wednesday begins this journey for us, and each succeeding Wednesday we shall experience in worship some of what our Lord, the way, experienced as he smoothed and as he softened our road to the new Jerusalem. As God brought a happy conclusion to my family's summer of 1950, I also look forward to the even happier, more blessed conclusion of our Lenten journey when we celebrate Easter. It is interesting that the people of Gerasenes could not figure out what to make of Jesus and what had resulted from Jesus' presence in their country following his healing of the demon-possessed man. So they, being bewildered, and I thought it was ironic that the man healed was driven out into the wilds by the demons, and it ends up the people of Gerasenes become bewildered, which the root meaning is to be lured into the wilds. So they end up in the wilds where the man healed had been. So they asked Jesus to lead them, which Jesus did do. For unfortunately, they could not see in Jesus the possibility of walking a different path in life, a path that might for them be full of promise, a path where strength to endure the hardships of life could have enriched their lives beyond what they could have imagined. Faith in Jesus does indeed bring about great benefits for us as we seek to be obedient and as we struggle to overcome obstacles, as we seek to overcome roadblocks and challenges with what our faith has to offer us in those moments. The people of Gerasenes missed their opportunity to see what Jesus offered them, a different way, a better way to travel through life. Therefore, they would remain, as Paul tells us in the Galatians reading, subject to a disciplinarian. That is, subject to the law, or as Paul describes it, imprisoned and guarded by the law. These words reminded me of a second newsletter article that I'm going to share with you this morning. An article also written in the newsletter at Zion Lutheran Church in Freeland in November 1994. It's titled, The Day When the Law is No Longer Needed. I began this by quoting from a diary that I have of my grandfather's older cousin. The diary entry on October 26, 1870 stated that his three younger sisters were taken to school by their father on his way to the mill with some grist. Then the writer of the diary, Adalbert Pettis, writes, "I cannot go to school anymore for 2 weeks. I've got to husk corn. In the afternoon, Father and I husk one load, and that is the first we husk." Adalbert remained out of school for more than 2 weeks, for this long, monotonous task would require of him and his father, even with a lot of help from others, a total of nearly 5 weeks to complete. Then on December 1st, 1870, this farmer's son writes, "It was 2 o'clock in the morning when I got home from town. I was there to see them dance. Three of us husking, and we husk as much as four did the day before. Almost four loads. We worked until after dark, and when we stopped, Father threw away his husking peg because we had gotten done husking." Adalbert's father didn't want to see that husking peg ever again. He had had enough of that corn husking to last him a lifetime. Thus, he gladly throws away this hand strapped to assist in the removal of the husk from the ears of corn. As November 1870 drew to a close for Adalbert and his father, so did the glorious day when they didn't have to look at any unhusked ears of corn. As November 1994 draws to a close for us, so does the celebration of that glorious day, Christ the King Sunday, when God won't have to look at our monotonous unholiness. The day when the King of Kings returns to establish his kingdom in all its glory. For God's husking peg, the law has already unmasked us. The law has revealed us for who we really are in the eyes of God, sinners. Being unmasked, we have claimed our Lord's righteousness, and as a result, we have received our sainthood. So the good news is that when Jesus comes again, God's husking peg will be thrown away because the law will be no longer needed. Only an abundant harvest of beautiful, obedient, thankful people will remain. So even though both the law and the husking peg have served a very useful purpose, God will be so happy to throw away the law as Adalbert's father was to throw away the husking peg. We have these promises from God. Promises that indeed tell us that we can experience a good life even now in this world of challenges and heartaches. Our faith, given to us through the Holy Spirit at work within us, is the means by which God brings these blessings to us in Jesus Christ. God in Christ promises us strength here and now, even a peace that comes to one who puts his or her trust in God's promises, a peace which itself is indeed a foretaste of the perfect peace which is to come, which is to be experienced forever by us in the hereafter. So today, let us join that thankful man of Gerasenes, that man who was healed of his demon possession. Let us rejoice for him, with him, for our own healings and all the many, many blessings that the divine has bestowed upon us. Especially let us give thanks with him for the gift of faith and join with him to declare to one and to declare to all how much God has done for us in our journey through life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.